Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Christy Pierce Rampone here, former member of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, three-time gold medalist, two-time World Cup champion, and part of the 99 team that won the Women's World Cup, igniting passion for soccer everywhere. I'm mom to two teenage girls, and quality time together is prime time. We love to cook, and I have an obsession, a healthy one, of course, with cooking utensils. Where do I turn? Amazon Prime, to get them fast. And when they arrive, where do I turn? To Prime, to stream the best cooking shows. And then, for dessert, what do? The Rampone Team streams. Each of us gets to be the captain and pick the show. Right now, we're all over British TV, part of a Prime subscription. I think a trip to the UK is in the future, and of course, we'll get all we need for that trip. From workout clothes to raincoats, from plaids to luggage, from travel guides to umbrellas, from streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. That's amazon.com/prime.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Alrighty, rocking and rolling, hour number two of our radio program. We should be able to connect with John Kuhn coming up in a few moments as we are going to preview the Green Bay Packers. The Packers last year not only made the playoffs in their first season without Aaron Rodgers, but Jordan Love was sensational down the stretch, 20 total touchdowns to one interception, and they walked into Jerry's World, and they opened up a can of whoop-ass on those drama Dallas choking Cowboys before the Packers saw their season come to an end on divisional round weekend. So we preview the Packers right now.
Football season is right around the corner.
Holding himself, runs to the left, he's to the five, Lamar's in, touchdown Ravens! They're going to have a championship game in Baltimore because the hate Lamar!
Will it be your team's year to hoist the Lombardi?
In the shotgun, Mahomes, he runs and he throws, caught, touchdown, it's caught, Hardman caught the ball, the Chiefs have won, the Chiefs have won! The entire bench empties! Chasing Mahomes in the end zone. Their third Super Bowl in 5 years.
We preview all 32 teams right here on the Zach Gelb Show. The Green Bay Packers.
Alrighty, let's welcome in one of our favorites. That, of course, is the former Packers fullback and John Kuhn, kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. John, how you been, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Isn't this the best time of year? Getting ready to kick this thing off for another football season?
It is. Now, a source told me this. I don't know if it's true or false, so I want to confirm with you. Did you go to Egypt with Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, no. No, I was not Egypt searching. Your source is mistaken, Zach.
Damn, someone told me that. I was like, oh, maybe that would be fun. I'm just kidding. Before someone goes, oh, awful announcing, John Kuhn went to Egypt with Aaron Rodgers. I was just totally playing around. John Kuhn here with us. So last year, though, with Jordan Love, halfway through the season, I didn't know what the Packers had. I was rooting for Jordan Love because I loved how he handled the whole mess the last few years with Aaron Rodgers, which probably was an uncomfortable situation. But we saw him just take it to a different level down the stretch. When you look back at what Love proved at the end of the season, now knowing the contract that he got, how far do you think Love can really take this thing as a pro quarterback in this league?
Man, I'll tell you what, Zach, the sky's the limit with this kid. The amount of work that he's put in, the amount of work that he continues to put in, and really to me, these last 4 years have been an absolute roller coaster ride, and the guy hasn't blinked. He's never put a blip on the radar that would make you question his personality, make you question his work ethic, make you question his athletic talents. Never a blip on the radar. He's just going through every hurdle like they weren't even there. And it wasn't always easy. Some of the hurdles were big, and it took some time to get over them. For example, last year, 42 straight days without a victory. That's what the Packers had. And that's a long time. That's a long time here in quarterback land, as we like to call Green Bay now, with what we think is our third really good quarterback in a row. So that's a long time to go without a victory, but never got beside himself, never got discouraged, and just continued to put in the work to get better. And he did just that. He got very good at the end of the year, and the team grew with him, which is really the big reason for the turnaround.
And that's what I think made the transition go so smoothly, because you know what it's like, John Kuhn, to be in a locker room. Love probably had opportunities, right? Reporters would love to hear him talk about how uncomfortable, right, maybe a situation was with all the drama surrounding Aaron Rodgers. He never spoke out of line. And even when things weren't going well early in the year, he didn't throw anyone under the bus, at least from what I was hearing anytime he spoke. And I think that goes a long way and gains respect with the young player in the locker room when you operate and conduct yourself like that.
It absolutely does. And Zach, this whole team, this roster in the last, let's call it 18 months since they lost that game against the Lions at home to make the playoffs 2 years ago in Aaron Rodgers last year, this roster has been flipped. They've completely changed the wide receiver position, the tight end position, the safety position, the linebacker position, the majority of the offensive line. I mean, this roster, which was the youngest last year, remains the youngest this year in the NFL. And they're all growing at the same time. And that can galvanize a locker room to a point where it's not just we need Jordan Love to grow so that we can win. We all need to grow together. And that type of accountability, joint accountability that they've had at the end of last year, and they have continued going into this year, it's making for a very good locker room.
And you look at the offense. I know Aaron Jones is no longer there, but Josh Jacobs is a heck of a player. Everyone's expecting big things out of Jordan Love. I don't think they have a number one wide receiver right now, but you got a good group of wide receivers. The offensive line, I was talking about buddy Mark Eckel, who covers the team. He's blown away by this offensive line. Like, I don't really see a big concern with this offense entering this season, John.
It's amazing how all of a sudden Rashid Walker, who was a big question mark or a downside last year, is now a positive for this offense. Zach Tom, who was a rookie last year, is now talking about could he make a Pro Bowl this year at right tackle. There's obviously a right guard battle spot going on right now between Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan. But aside from that, the tight end position looks good. The wide receiver position looks good. Josh Jacobs is a premier running back that I think is going to have more space in his Packers offense than he ever had with the Raiders. I think that's going to be a positive for him. We're going to see a happy, kind of vibrant Josh Jacobs in that manner to be able to run through big gaping holes. And honestly, the notion of this no number one wide receiver, each one of these receivers has an attribute that a number one carries. There might not be one guy who has all four attributes, but Christian Watson has the world-class speed and size. Romeo Doubs has the top-end hands and want to, like, go after an ability. Jaden Reed is a guy that can go across the middle. He's kind of your, you know, jackknife kind of player, can Swiss Army knife, do a whole bunch of different things. And Dontavian Wicks is as good a route runner as they've seen here since Devontae Adams. So they all have an attribute. And if you don't know which one they're targeting on play, it could actually turn out to be in the Packers' favor that there is not a clear number one.
If you had to talk to Devontae Adams, I know that everyone thinks Devontae Adams, like, a year from now is going to get traded to the Jets. If he could have a do-over, you think he just would have stayed in Green Bay if he knew Love was going to be this good?
Well, that's tough to say because, honestly, to play in the National Football League at a level he does, you got to be an alpha. You got to have no regrets. You got to have, you know, very thick skin and think that everything you've done throughout your career was the right way to do it. And he's going to be a gold jacket wide receiver when this thing's all said and done. But man, it's hard to look at what this Packers team has done and become in such a short period of time. I would be surprised if Davante Adams didn't say at least sometime down the road here, man, I probably should have given it a try with Jordan Love.
They could have a reunion still. I wouldn't say that couldn't happen, because a year from now, he's probably asking out. And I think it kind of be smart by Green Bay to try to go get him back,
John. Well, but here's the problem. The Packers are so deep. They're going to have one of the wide receivers on their roster right now in training camp is going to be on a roster of another team as soon as camp's over. They don't have enough room for the number of guys that they have, and they're all on rookie contracts. They're all on rookie deals. They all have room to grow. They all have room to reach higher levels than what they're at right now. To pay a wide receiver as much money as it's going to cost to pay Davante Adams, I don't think is in the Packers' plans anytime soon.
Talking to John Kuhn, let's go to defense. New defensive coordinator coming in, the former head coach Jeff Hafley at Boston College. How much better do you think this defense will be this year?
Well, that remains to be seen. But the one thing that is very encouraging is listening to the dialogue within the locker room, within the players, the assistant coaches. And the one thing that this really does is it really simplifies things. It's taking the 4-3, which everybody runs a nickel four down version at some point in time, usually more than their base defense anyways. So it kind of mirrors the rules with the base D and the sub D, and it allows these guys to have more continuity within their zones, within their coverages, passing things off, and really being aggressive in the secondary while still having vision on their guys. If this defensive line, this defensive front can play the way that they want them to play, meaning getting penetration and creating disruption on the way to a quarterback, I do believe that this defense could be one of the top end defenses in the league, because they got an all-pro guy at Jaire Alexander. They have two Pro Bowl caliber players in Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary on the defensive front. And these young linebackers just continue to show their raw athleticism. They're young. They got new safeties. Xavier McKinney brings in a dynamic that they haven't had here in quite a bit of time. So a lot of newness, a lot of young and new defensive schemes. But if it comes together, this thing could be really, really good.
And I know Packers fans realize it, but I think nationally people don't realize how good of an offseason the Packers have. Like you talked about McKinney on defense and bringing in Josh Jacobs. Those are heck of moves that Gutekunst did pull off this year.
Zach, let me say this. It's very rare to find a free agent in the National Football League that was a captain at their former team. That captain is a leader. That captain is a producer. You don't normally vote captains in who don't produce for your football team. And rarely are they not leaders, because that's how you get to be the captain. So we got two of them. We got one on the offensive side and one on the defensive side. Both these guys, aside from having immense production their first couple years in the NFL, were leaders on their football teams. They're going to bring that leadership to both a young offense and a young defense. And that is where the scary thing starts taking place. Then everybody starts to follow in their process. And the other thing I think is pretty interesting about this is they're both from Alabama at right about the same time. They kind of got that Nick Saban, nose to the grind. We're going to come in here. We're going to work. We're going to get better mindset. It's feeling different. And I know 18 months can sound like a long time, but it seems like that where the Green Bay Packers were, man, how do we turn this thing around? It seems like it's turned around and it's passing where it was before.
Well, that's the crazy part. It's like people didn't know last year, going into last year, what LaFleur was like without Rodgers. You know, Gutekunst, everyone crushed him, including yours truly, on draft night, and he got this thing right. This organization, like, I shouldn't be surprised, but I am surprised how quickly I'm willing to say that they got this thing right with what they decided to do a few years ago.
And I think there's a couple things you need to notice here. The Packers had always been draft best available, right? And start developing them throughout the course of time. Goody in the last several years has really attacked positions. So I'm not saying he didn't take the best available, but he really targeted positions when you talk about tight end, wide receiver, inside linebacker, safety over the last 2 years. And it's not just the quarterback Jordan Love they got right. Look at his last two, three draft class and tell me who you see as not having value with where they were drafted. Then you go on the flip side and you start talking about Coach LaFleur. When you start coaching a young team, you can get more creative. You can find out more about yourself. I believed halfway through last season is when Matt LaFleur started to hit his coaching groove, his coaching prime. And now you got a coach that's in what I feel like could be his prime of developing game plans, calling plays. It's a little more open for him. And then running a team through practices. He's got his feet underneath him now. He's no longer a young coach on a veteran team. He's now the veteran coach with a young team. And you got the GM, you got the head coach. Now when this quarterback starts to hit where they – because they have groove in it now. If he starts to hit that groove, that starts to remind me of what this Packers team looked like, you know, late 2009, 2010, 2011 region.
Do you walk into this year – thinking, okay, this could be a team that could be playing on Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, you said could, and absolutely. I always believe there's about 6 to 8 teams that are probably in a position that can make a Super Bowl. The Green Bay Packers are firmly in one of those 6 to 8 spots. Comes down to a little bit of health, a little bit of luck. But when you got a quarterback that's on the top end, which we believe Jordan Love is, I believe you really have an opportunity. Plus, the NFC kind of looks like it could potentially be not quite the juggernaut that the AFC is right now.
And this division, though, is really damn good. And I think the Lions are going to win the division, but I will even say I feel like everyone thinks it's a given that the Lions win this division. I can't dismiss Green Bay from maybe making a run to go win this division.
Yeah, the Bears have gotten better with their defense, finishing, you know, one of the top defenses in the league the second half of the year. Just took them a little bit to get rolling. You knew those pieces they added last year were going to be great. And now that they got Montez Sweat, they pose a real formidable opponent. When you talk about all you got to do is get your quarterback on the same level with some of those weapons that are out there, Chicago Bears are going to be very good too. And then Minnesota can always be a thorn in anybody's side.
When we talk about the Super Bowl contender, and you look at the big three probably right now in the NFC, most people would say it's the Eagles, it's the 49ers, and it's the Lions. You think they're better than any of those three teams I just mentioned, John?
I think they are going to show people that this year. I really do. There's obviously a part of the season, and it's usually like the first 4 or 5 games, where teams that look like they may look at the beginning of September look dramatically different in October. And I think the Packers got the makeup so that whatever they look like at the beginning of October, that's the team you're going to have to deal with. It's kind of the way the NFL is now. Training camps are shortened. Preseasons are not as many football games. So it takes the first couple weeks of the season before you see a team's mettle. And I think the Packers got what it takes to be one of those top teams in the NFC.
I know you said the sky is the limit for Jordan Love. How much in love are you with Love? Like, we know Rodgers going to be a Hall of Famer, 1-1 Super Bowl. Favre, Hall of Famer, 1-1 Super Bowl. Like, do you look at Love as a guy that maybe could win the Packers multiple Super Bowls one day?
And it's so hard, but I will go out because I'm not afraid of making predictions. I'm not afraid of receipts coming back on me. I do believe Jordan Love will get the Packers to another Super Bowl. Then anything can happen. I do believe he's a guy that's going to get the Packers to the Super Bowl. And then I would say he's going to compete for an MVP in this National Football League.
How about that? That would be something. All right, John, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. All the best.
My pleasure, Zach. Always fun talking with you.
There he is, John Kuhn. Always love when he joins us on this show. And I think that's the conversation to me when I look in the NFC. That's the most fascinating. Because most people would say Eagles, Niners, and the Lions. Whatever order you want, 1, 2, and 3 in the NFC. That fourth team, is it the Packers? Is it the Cowboys? Is it the Rams? You know, does Seattle bounce back? Is it Atlanta? Tampa Bay? You know, I think that's the conversation. The top four teams in the NFC, whoever that fourth team is that emerges, maybe they're a little bit better than 3, 2, or 1, maybe. But whoever that team is that emerges that we fall in love with, I think it's going to be fun. And right now, if you had to make me take a guess, I think it's either the Rams or the Green Bay Packers. You know, if you ask me 5 best teams in the NFC, the 5 teams that I feel the most confident with in the NFC, in no order, it's Philly, it's the Niners, it's the Lions, it's the Packers, and it's the LA Rams. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. When we come on back, we got a little would you rather question. Would you rather be Steph Curry or LeBron James? And we'll also get into this Noah Lyles beef with Tyreek Hill and the Tyreek Hill beef with Noah Lyles, which was very interesting to listen to in the last few days. All right, we'll take a time out. It's Zach Gilbert on the Infinity Sports Network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Christy Pierce-Rampone here, former member of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, three-time gold medalist, and two-time World Cup champion. I'm mom to two teenage girls and a dog mom, too. All four of them need lots of stuff, and we always need it fast. And that's why we use Amazon Prime. When our favorite leash broke, I went right to Prime, and with one click, I ordered it again. Not to mention all the great streaming shows I watch with family. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime.
You know, I'm going to call BS on something, or call Cap, as the kids would say. You know, I'm not talking about Andrew Kaplan. But last week when we found out that Jim Harbaugh received a year suspension and a show cause, 4 years. It was then, like, the next day revealed that for Michigan's first game, I think it's August 31st against Fresno State, and that game is at home, to celebrate the national championship team from a year ago, Jim Harbaugh was going to serve as a honorary captain for the season opener. So, Sherrone Moore, who was Harbaugh's offensive line coach, offensive coordinator at Michigan. He is now the head coach, as we know, replacing Jim Harbaugh. And he has revealed that Jim Harbaugh is no longer going to serve as the team's honorary captain for the season opener. Jack and Jackie Harbaugh will be there in his place. According to Moore, Harbaugh decided it was way better to stay in the foxhole with the Chargers instead of taking a deep, long bow at Michigan. And that was via Anthony Broom at On3 Sports and the Wolverine on 3. I think Michigan should give the NCAA, quite frankly, the middle finger. So this wasn't even with the Stallion stuff. I'm not saying Michigan did no wrong with the Stallion stuff, but clearly they show whatever he was doing was not necessary to win. Can there still be a punishment? Absolutely. But when you have, right, that draft of the notice of allegations basically leaked through ESPN and you can't even find anything, where I don't believe, even as someone that defends Michigan, I don't believe that Harbaugh had no clue what was going on here. But they can't even find any proof. And since Harbaugh, they were close to coming to a three-game suspension last year, or a four-game suspension last year, I believe, for different infractions when it came to a dead period during COVID, and they wanted basically Harbaugh to crawl to the podium and genuflect to the NCAA, and he's like, I'm not doing that. So then Michigan just self-imposed a three-game suspension on him. You know, and then once he leaves, it's like, oh, we're going to really show Harbaugh. We're going to suspend him from something that he's not even a part of anymore. You know, I forget who said it, but it was a great analogy. Was it Feinbaum? I think it may have been him. I forget who, so I apologize for that. Oh, no, it was Harbaugh's attorney. Come on, Paul Feinbaum. If it's not the SEC, he's not making a great point. Let's be real. But it was the attorney for Harbaugh. He's like, this is like your high school calling you after you already graduated and you're in college saying you didn't sign the high school yearbook. So therefore, you know, we got to punish you, or you're not going to end. We're going to take back your diploma. It's like, all right, I'm already in college. I don't need that. And that's basically what happened here. But I don't know about you, Nico, and I know you're a Michigan guy. Doesn't this feel like the NCAA kind of stepped in and told Michigan, you want to mess with us and bring Harbaugh to that sideline and serve him as honorary captain? Just be careful. And then all of a sudden, after basically telling the world that Harbaugh is going to be there a week ago, now Harbaugh wants to be. And it's such a Jim Harbaugh way of saying it, right? It almost makes you puke. Because it's like, oh, like you're trying to make something believable, but this is unbelievable. But then, like, all right, it is something Harbaugh would say, and you can hear him saying it. Oh, like, I got to be a foxhole guy with the Chargers, and I got to be with my team. Like, coach, it's a Saturday. All right? You could afford to go there. The regular season hasn't even started yet. You could afford to go there and be in Ann Arbor for before the game, get a standing ovation, get on a private jet, and fly right back out to L.A. Like, I kind of think, and I assume here, that the NCAA maybe scared Michigan and tried to strong-arm Michigan into saying, hey, tell Jim not to go.
Yeah, I thought that before this even came out today. I remember when they announced that Harbaugh was going to come back, I was like, as a Michigan fan, I love it because I love Jim Harbaugh and want to see him back at the
and
Big House.
And it's a giant bleep you to the NCAA.
Right, but at the same time, I was like, do we really want to go down this path? Because originally we heard that there's a very little chance that they were going to vacate any wins or the national championship. And as a Michigan fan, I'm okay with that. Suspend whoever you want to suspend, or whatever fine you want to give. Just don't take away the national championship. So as long as they can, you know, be at peace a little bit with the NCAA and keep that from happening, that's all I care about.
Let me tell you, I have been made aware that my comments about Tony Petitti during the scandal has reached many, many, many people, okay? If you thought those were choice words, wait until the words that I would have for the NCAA, if those clowns that run the NCAA take away the Michigan National Championship. If you think you have heard me yell before, you have never heard me yell before. If those dopes, those morons at the NCAA take away Michigan's national championship, they try to vacate that. Let's go to Noah Lyles. So, Stu, this was from a few years ago, right? These comments, I remember doing this when we were like, oh, like, I remember, I think I was critical of Noah Lyles, if memory serves me right here, where he was saying NBA players aren't world champions. So let's listen up. This was Noah Lyles.
The thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times. But that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting on their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA.
Yeah, so here's why I don't get the whole point of this, though. If, like, let's just say the U.S. would consistently not win the gold medal. All right, I'm talking about for basketball. Then maybe you have a case. Maybe basketball is better throughout the rest of the world. But when you have so many foreign players joining the NBA and wanting to play in the NBA to compete for a championship, and then the U.S. always wins the gold medal, like, what's the gripe in calling an NBA champion a world champion? Like, what's the other league? And I am as critical of the quality or the lack of it of the product in the NBA as anybody, because the regular season is a big fat joke. What's the league, though, in basketball that's better than the NBA where, okay, I can't call the players that win that championship and the Larry O'Brien trophy world champions? That's nonsense.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's not like, and I know we share hockey with Canada, but it's not like if we called the Stanley Cup the world champions, it's like, okay, when has the United States dominated in hockey in recent years, right? Like, it's Canada, it's Russia, mm-hmm. it's other countries. But you're right. For basketball, it's like, it's United States.
Yeah.
Other than that, 1 year in 2004, every year, they pretty much dominate.
And to your example, right, in the NHL, even though, right, Canada dominates, right, and how you want to say it, all those players still come to play in the NHL. You know, it's, you know, who is it? Ilya Kovalchuk, right? Right on the Devils that left to go back to the cage. Like, it happens. Don't get me wrong. But come on. We know what the biggest leagues are in the world. Noah Lyles comes off just very jealous. Because we all know, right, fastest man. But I think he's annoyed that he doesn't get the attention, like, of other people. Like, I don't know what's true with this Anthony Edwards stuff. But it's like, oh, you know, he offered him a shoe deal, you know, Adidas. And they invited me to the shoe release. He's like, why would I go there? I'm a bigger deal than Anthony Edwards. I hate to break it to you, Noah Lyles. You're not. Like, Anthony Edwards, but Stu, you would agree, I would think. Maybe I'm wrong here. Marco, you could correct me if I'm wrong. Who's more popular? Is it Anthony Edwards or Noah Lyles? I think it's Anthony Edwards.
I agree. Anthony Edwards.
Marco?
It is, because we only know of Noah Lyles once every 4 years.
Yeah.
It's not a knock, but it's the truth. That's what happens with Olympians unless you're Usain Bolt, unless you're Michael Phelps. You have to transcend for us to remember who you are 6 weeks after the Olympics end.
And let's just see this. Not that this is the end-all be-all, but if I had to ask you who probably has more Instagram followers, is it Noah Lyles or Anthony Edwards? What would you say?
I would probably go with Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, so would I. So let's see. Noah Lyles has 1.5 million Instagram followers. I'm going to say Anthony Edwards has at least 3 million Instagram, 4.1. So not that that's the end-all be-all, but,
no.
You know.
And he plays on the T-Wolves.
Yeah, it's
I'm sorry, but that is a factor. That is a factor.
By the way, if you're listening to us in Minnesota, those were the words of Marco Belletti.
It's the truth. It's like you're playing in Siberia. Now it's a team, at least that they've had some playoff success. They've done nothing in 30 years.
Yeah. Lyle said about this, there's a rumor going around that I did not go to Anthony Edwards' shoe release because he didn't deserve it. That is not the case. He definitely deserves his shoe. He is an amazing player. The problem was finding time based on my prior engagements. Congratulations on becoming an Olympic champion. Now, we go from the Noah Lyles stupid things from that he said 2 years ago about NBA players not being world champions and this beef, I guess, with Anthony Edwards that he's now saying isn't a beef. Here is Tyreek Hill on Up and Adams with Kay Adams on the Noah Lyles world champs comments. Let's listen up to Tyreek Hill.
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want to come out and pretend like he's sick. I feel like that's like horseradish. So for him to like do that and say that we're not world champions of like our sport says come on, bro. Like, just speak on what you know about. You know what I'm saying? And that's track.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Look, by a lot.
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I would beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
And guess what? When I beat him, I'm going to put on a COVID mask.
Oh, God.
And let him know I mean business.
So there's a lot there. Let's try to address as many things as I could remember. Number one, I think we could agree on this, Marco. Tyreek Hill, I would love to see it, but he's not going to beat Noah Lyles in a race.
No.
Okay, so we're in agreement there.
No.
I think I'm now going to start to say horseradish. When I want to say horse bleep on
the
radio.
I like that.
That was a very good line.
It's good.
And then the third thing in regards to this, the whole COVID part of this where he ran in the race, you know, beforehand was jumping up and down, you know, you know, doing everything that he does. That's why he's so entertaining. And then afterwards, we found out that he had COVID, right?
Yeah, basically two seconds after the race ended.
Yeah. So we find out that he has COVID. Like, could you imagine 4 years ago? Me telling you, they allowed an athlete to run a race with COVID.
That's, again, the world is...
I know, but I'm still kind of surprised
that he was still allowed to run. This is unbelievable. All that stuff is to me, it was the idea that if you're going to talk as much as Noah Lyles, and this is why this is coming out, if you're going to talk that much, that's fine. No one's got any problem with when you talk, but you better be able to stand there and take it when you lose, when they don't back it up. And the first thing he did when he didn't back it up, even though he came out, made that big spectacle going into the race.
Sure.
The second the race was over, he's laying down on the ground. He's holding his chest. He can't breathe. He can't. And then, he's got COVID. He was sick. It was a miracle. He even ran the race. Look, if you want to talk, then you got to stand there and take it. You lost. Happens. You lost.
One more point on the Olympics, too. So they made LeBron the most outstanding player, which I thought it should have been Steph Curry.
Because it should have been.
Yeah, I think we could all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a weird question, because when you are the second greatest player of all time, which I think LeBron James is, and no, this is not call and debate LeBron versus Michael. It's my least favorite radio to do. But you think it would be tough if you ask someone, would you rather be the second greatest player of all time or someone else, and it's not number one, that the answer would be somebody else? I think if you ask me if you'd rather be Steph Curry or LeBron James, I think I'd rather be Steph Curry.
Now, you want to be beloved.
Yeah, no one dislikes, and I like LeBron, but no one dislikes Steph Curry. Every kid walks into a gym thinking, even though they can't, but they can be Steph Curry with the ridiculous three-point shots. You transcended the game. Now everyone shoots three-pointers. Even the big guys shoot three-pointers at a ridiculous range. You played your entire career with one team, which really doesn't bug me that LeBron jumped around, because the LeBron Cleveland championship is more important than any championship Steph Curry has. But Steph won before KD, during KD, and then after KD.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it that LeBron has more MVPs. He has more All-Star appearances. He has more Finals MVPs. But if you ask me, Steph or LeBron, and we know how great both their careers are, they're two all-time great players, even though LeBron is viewed as the second greatest player of all time, I'd rather be Steph Curry.
You want to be beloved.
Mm-hmm. I just want someone to love.
That's basically what it is. No one questions. No one.
Who would you rather be?
I'd rather be LeBron.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you'd rather be second fiddle to Jordan?
Well, if you look at it that way, I would look at it as Steph Curry is not even the greatest player of his own generation. So,
yeah. The greatest shooter of all time.
Oh, I don't care.
Okay.
And I walk in a room and the two of us are here and it's still me. That's the way LeBron would look at it. And I kind of like the idea of, I like being the villain. I would prefer that. So I would like the both roles of the, you know, he's still the conquering hero when he goes back to Cleveland, whenever they get a, you know, past all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still got a lot of that, you know, bad blood. I like the bad blood. Okay. That would fuel me. That would help me.
You a horseradish guy, by the way?
I am a horseradish guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. In that sense.
Good to know. We'll come on back with the news brief.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. I'll give a little shout out to our guy, Hot Take Hickey. He was released a little video yesterday. At Ryan_Hickey3 on the good old cesspool that is Twitter. And he said, in 19 out of the last 20 years, a team ranked inside the top 10 in the preseason has finished a year unranked. So he believes it's Florida State and Michigan that are the two teams that will fall victim to that. Now, Hickey has not said a positive thing about Florida State in his life. Even last year, we had Mike Norvell on. And I said, Coach, he picked LSU to beat the crap out of you in week one, and you guys ended up winning. You should thank him because he's always wrong. And he said to Hot Take Hickey on the air when he was my producer, Ryan, keep on picking against us. And he did the entirety of the way. They didn't lose a game. you know, last year, up until the bowl game, which it was a joke anyway because they weren't in the college football playoff. So I heard Hickey's prediction, and I sat there, and usually I don't give you an answer where I'm like, ooh, I don't know. But I look at the top 10, unranked at the end of the year, Florida State, even if they don't win the ACC, but at worst they're going to finish third, they'll be in the top 25. Michigan's going to be in the top 25. The defense is good enough. Penn State's going to be in the playoff. Notre Dame will be in the top 25 at the end of the year. Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia. Like, they're going to – like, I'd be shocked if they're unranked. You know, maybe because of the conference changes. You know, I think Oregon and Texas are the third and fourth best team in the country. Like, is Oregon going to really struggle that much to adapt to the Big Ten and Texas, the SEC, where they finish the year unranked? Like, I have a tough time believing it, but – as much as I've been just singing the praise of Oregon and Texas, I guess it'd be one of those squads, but I don't believe it. So the reason why I bring this up is Paul Feinbaum was on First Take earlier this AM, and he was asked which top team will finish unranked. I haven't heard this. I'm curious what his answer is because this is a tough question.
Florida State. First of all, they have no business
being
in the top 10. They have a difficult schedule. They have Miami and Notre Dame within a three-week period on the road. They end the season with Florida, which is a debatable team. But I think they're going to get caught in the run-of-the-mill ACC game this year, which they did not encounter last year. They lost the guts of their defense. They have a quarterback who has certainly been around and remains a question mark. And I think they also have a hangover. I think they used up too many tears crying about not getting in the playoffs, and that may slow them down a little bit this year.
So I'm looking at the Florida State schedule. I'm not saying they're all wins, and I get it, losing Fisk. Losing Verse is enormous. You lost Jordan Travis, but you brought in DJ Uiagalelei, who's a solid quarterback. And I like Norvell a lot. Like, what's the game on their schedule that they can't win? You know, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Memphis, California, SMU, Clemson, Duke, Miami, UNC, Notre Dame, Charleston Southern, and Florida. Like, Clemson, why should I believe in Dabo Sweeney right now? Miami, I like Mario Cristobal and Cam Ward, but it's not like that's a guaranteed victory for the U. Notre Dame, is Riley Leonard a better quarterback than DJU? And then Florida, Billy Napier, as Terry Collins would say, his ass in the jackpot, right? He's on the hot seat this year. So I'm not saying it's the easiest schedule in the world, but do I sit there and say that's murderer's row for Florida State in terms of the schedule? No, I do not. Let's go to Adam Schefter. He gave the latest update on J.J. McCarthy. This was via the Pat McAfee Show.
They went in, they did an MRI on Monday night, and they found the torn meniscus. And now the question is, whether he will need just a trimming of that meniscus or whether he will need a complete repair. There are two very different timelines for each surgery depending on what doctors believe is the best option. So we don't know right now whether he's going to be out multiple weeks or potentially a whole lot longer for J.J. McCarthy. The surgery will determine exactly how long he's out. But I think for now, suffice it to say, you hope that he comes back from this. You hope he comes back from this quickly. And the Vikings are now going to prepare Sam Darnold to start opening day against the Giants in New York, New Jersey. And that's going to be the path they have to take because JJ is going to need this surgery after undergoing that MRI on Monday night.
Once again, I'm not a doctor. But, Nico, I'll run this by you. We're talking about the trimming of a meniscus. If I had to get my meniscus trimmed, I'm not showing up. I'm not playing. Minor, long-term, like, how long has Elijah Stewart been out? We'll get to him coming up in just a bit and his potty mouth. But how long has EJ been out with, a torn patella tendon? And they're talking about maybe J.J. McCarthy, if it's a minor meniscus injury, that he could be back in like a couple of weeks? Man. That sounds serious to me.
Yeah, I'm the last person to ask on this because I don't really know either. But it sounds worse than they're making it seem,
right? Do you
think
he plays this year, J.J. McCarthy?
Does he or do I think
starting,
he should?
Starting. Do you think he will?
I doubt it.
I would be shocked now. And yesterday, yeah. I guarantee that he'd be playing by, like, I think, like the middle of October. Do we have that EJ cut, Stu? So I was listening to our friends Maggie and Perloff this morning on YouTube. So it got dumped over the air. But on YouTube, it was loud and clear. Listen up.
You guys know on Reddit they do something called AITA. Am I the... I can't say the last one. Did I just pull one of those with the draft, with the fantasy thing?
I got nothing.
Is it too soon for me to bring up fantasy when you just hear that a guy got hurt?
I'm what?
I'm lost. You lost me at AITA.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, you guys have never heard of this before.
Am I the...
Can't say that.
Oh. Hey, we're on the radio.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, hey, Zoo.
Was I on?
I was listening to that live, and I was dying, and here's why. I was listening to a local radio host on an AM radio station yesterday who used that word on the radio. They did not dump it. I texted that person. I said, you could say that word on the radio that EJ just said. And he was like, yeah, say it all the time. And I was like, oh. I go, they wouldn't allow that where I work. And I don't think you can say it. And I remember telling that story to Stu and Pat off the air yesterday. Are you allowed to say it? And then, boom, I tuned into Maggie and Pearl for 10 minutes this morning, my favorite national morning radio show. And then, boom, EJ, hot mic working at home, coming back from the torn patella tendon from the Deion Dawkins charity kickball tournament that I organized. And there he says it. And the reason why I was laughing is because I know who runs the board on that show. Pete the Body, the Bossy Bilotti. And I could just basically see Pete without even seeing him. I just envisioned in my cabeza Pete basically having a heart attack the moment he heard the word a bleep on the good old radio come through his board this morning. Because when someone curses, like, Pete takes it personally. Pete doesn't like to hit the dump button, but Pete, outside of me when Hickey dropped an F-bomb when talking about Russell Westbrook, I don't think anyone has ever hit the dump button harder than Pete the Body Bilotti. All righty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we're going to do a little surprise on a Tuesday. We're going to do a little football segment that we usually do in season. We'll get you set for the real season coming up in a bit.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Christy Pierce-Rampone here, former member of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, three-time gold medalist, and two-time World Cup champion. I'm mom to two teenage girls and a dog mom, too. All four of them need lots of stuff, and we always need it fast. And that's why we use Amazon Prime. When our favorite leash broke, I went right to Prime, and with one click, I ordered it again. Not to mention all the great streaming shows I watch with family. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.